If I could ask board members to come on back to their seats, we'll resume. And our first agenda item after break is to take in public comment on the Northern Spotted Owl Conservation Advisory Group. And we have two people signed for comment. First, Sean Cantrell.
Thank you, Chairman Young. Mostly, I didn't want Aaron to feel unloved because I just thought nobody was signed up to speak in favor of his appointment to this body. But he seems to have left, so maybe I will speak in opposition then.
He just came in.
Okay. Well, he is back. Okay, I guess I'll say nice things about Aaron then. I just wanted to say that this body has not had, this conservation advisory group has not had to meet. There's not been cause for it to meet since it was developed, but I do encourage you to renew or confirm support for this to be there in case there are landowners who are interested in decertifying those lands. This is a necessary step to try to make sure that we do have the appropriate evaluation of that process, and so it's a process that may not need to ever be implemented, but if it does, it's good to have it in place, and I think Aaron would be a fine addition to the committee, because I am not on it.
Thank you, Sean. Kevin Gadabu.
Good morning, board members. I think it's important that we keep the process open to landowners. We do need a pathway to demonstrate absence when spotted owls aren't present. You can't expect landowners to be permanently encumbered when the landscape contains many of these ghost circles. There are places where circles are on the map, they're in the database, there's no owls present, so we do need a process in order to clear those sites up. The reason this process hasn't been used is that the Fish and Wildlife Service published protocols which require extensive amount of surveying compared to the old protocols, and it takes upwards of 5 years or more to do that. So this is not a undertaking that is undertaken by a landowner in any light sense. It's quite expensive. It's a long-term commitment. If you do demonstrate absence, I think it's clear if you've got the science, we need to be able to come forward to a body and eliminate those circles when they're not don't have owls. I would also ask that I think we need to have a conversation with our federal partners, and that they need to provide some guidance to the states on how they would view absence determination. And it was one of the commitments in the federal recovery plan that that would be done, but it has yet to be undertaken. And so other states are looking at trying to come up with their own procedure on that. And I think we've got a procedure, but it's pretty, sort of wide open. It's up to the panel of experts to decide, but it would be kind of nice to put some sideboards around. If you go out and do a certain level of surveys and it's to a certain quality level, you have a little bit more of a chance of having the group accept it, rather than just kind of making your own best case, because there really isn't any guidelines that we have for this process right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. That concludes all those who signed up to testify. Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to comment on that?
I'd like to add my name to the list for just a minute, please. For the record, Peter Goldman, Conservation Caucus. Kevin brought up the subject of surveying, and I just want the board to know that there are new ways to survey that are economical and effective, and it involves using dogs to locate the owls. It's Dr. Sam Wasser up at the University of Washington, who's a chair of Conservation Biology Department, has perfected a technique with dogs that actually live at the Pack Forest. And these dogs actually go out, and you can locate the owl specifically in a tree very economically. The owls are trained to sniff for either the scat or the, what's the term?
Pellets.
Yeah, the pellet. Thank you, Cara. Either the scat or the pellet. And there's been published peer-reviewed science reflecting the accuracy in finding the critters. In fact, the owls, once you locate the owl, its scat or pellet can be analyzed for DNA to test for stress levels and what the diet has been, etc. So it's an incredible way to find wildlife economically and efficiently. A dog and a trainer can do 1,000 acres a day. And the manual method that Kevin referred to involves years and years of going out in the middle of the night and hooting for owls and hoping that they're going to, you know, swoop down and grab the mouse and they can be tagged and analyzed and surveyed. So it's very expensive. It takes a long time. This is a very, very good technique. So as we're moving forward in terms of figuring out where owls are and knowing where they are, which is really a big issue here, there is this technique out there that's quite exciting that could revolutionize surveying for wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Is there anyone else who'd like to provide comment on this agenda item? Okay. If I could ask Mark Engel to come up and present this agenda item for us.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Mark Engel. I'm the Forest Practices Assistant Division Manager for Policy and Services. And a lot of my thunder in the presentation was just taken. But I, to confirm for the board, we do, or has asked staff to give an annual report every November on the convening of this advisory group. And again, this last year, the group was not convened because there were no surveys turned into the Department of Fish and Wildlife. A little bit of history on this group. When the WDFW approved surveys demonstrating absence of owls within suitable habitat supporting Northern Spotted Owl Site Center, the rules required convening of the Spotted Owl Conservation Advisory Group to address the need based on available habitat to maintain Northern Spotted Owl Site Centers while the board completes its evaluation of the rules for the effectiveness to the owl. Again, they did not meet in this last year. However, there is a vacancy that's been created within this committee for the person representing the Forest Practices Program. When Bridget Moran departed, representing DNR, staff now would like to recommend that the board confirm Aaron Everett, Deputy Supervisor for Forest Practices and Federal Relations, as the new member representing DNR on this group.
Questions for Mark? Dave.
Just a quick one, Mark, and can you remind the board who else is, who the other members are?
The other, so the rule is in, or the board is identified in Chapter 16 on O&O, and the members of the group, let's see, one member from the forest products industry, one person representing conservation organization, and then one person representing the Forest Practices Program. I believe it is Marty Vaughn and Carl Whitaker are the other two members. They're still in the group. And then Aaron would fill out the group with third person.
Okay. Would a board member like to make a recommendation, a motion around this item? Dave?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Thank you. I move the Forest Practices Board approve Aaron Everett to serve on the Spotted Owl Conservation Advisory Group.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion properly supported. Any discussion around this motion? Okay, we're ready to vote. All those in favor of approving this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously carries. Thank you, Mark. Our next agenda item is on rulemaking on legislative changes to conversion activities and forest practices applications. Gretchen Robinson will present. Maureen Gretchen.
Good morning, Chair Young, and all the members of the board. Norm, thank you so much for everything. It's been wonderful to work with you. My name is Gretchen Robinson, and I'm here today to request that you adopt changes to rules to make them consistent with several recent amendments to the Forest Practices Act. The proposed language adds a year to the effective term of an approved Forest Practices application. It describes the process involving a notice of conversion to non-forestry use in situations where a landowner has conducted unpermitted conversion activities. It eliminates lands platted after 1960 as a trigger for automatic Class 4 general classification. And it clarifies that forest practices applications on certain lands within urban growth areas should not be classified Class 4 general if the landowner provides documentation that they plan to maintain their forest land in for commercial timber production, and in cases where the local governmental entity has assumed regulatory forest practices jurisdiction, the proposed forest practices are on 20 or more continuous forest land acres. As directed by you in August, staff filed the draft language on August 22nd, and the language was published in the Washington State Register on September 5th. It was available for public review between September 5th and October 10th. The board did not receive any comments on the rule proposal. One hearing was held on October 10th right here in this room in Olympia. One person provided testimony, but later withdrew the testimony. But in the meantime, staff saw an opportunity to make the language proposed even more succinct, and that is in WAC 222-16050. I explained this in my memorandum to you in your board materials. This is in the Class 2 and Class 3 portions of the classification definitions, and we just made it the Class 3 a little shorter by referencing the Class 2 language that we have in there. I don't know if you have any questions about that. That is a change between the proposed rule and the rule that I'm asking you to adopt now, although it was in your board materials, so you might have had a chance to review those. Any questions about that? Okay. This was all explained in the draft concise explanatory statement also, the difference between the rule as proposed and the rule I'm asking you to adopt. So as I mentioned in my memorandum to you also, the analysis of the small forest land on their long-term applications is not required for this rule proposal, because nothing in it revises any resource protection objectives in the rules. So that's an analysis we need to do if there's some kind of revision to like riparian management zones or something like that. But for this rule proposal, it has nothing to do with resource protection directly. So I'm now requesting your adoption of the rule as was distributed for public review with the addition of the changes in the Class 2 and Class 3 definitions.
Any questions for Gretchen? So I would entertain a motion to push this rulemaking through to completion.
I'll make the motion. I move the Forest Practices Board adopt the rule proposal amending Title 222 WAC that incorporates the provisions of Second Growth Substitute Senate Bill 6406. Actually, that really should refer to the chapter and year rather than the bill number. And other legislative changes made in 2007 and 2011. I further move that the board direct staff to file the CR 103 rulemaking order with the Office of the Code Advisor. You know what I mean when I say referring to the year. And,
let me get a second first, and then we can talk
about it.
I'll second. Okay, seconded. So could you explain?
Well, the bills are incorporated into the laws of 2007 or 2011 in this case, with a chapter. Each of them has a separate chapter. So, because, of course, they recycle the bill numbers every year. So second substitute 6406 is, will be confusing, you know, 5 years down the road.
Do you have a specific change?
No, I think it's this motion is okay because it lists the years that, that this applies to, but it's just better form to quote the chapter session laws.
Quick question for council. Would you see a need to make that change, or are we okay to move forward?
I think you're okay moving forward as long as you clarify that the 6406 occurred in the 2011.
That's 2012.
2012? Mm-hmm. 2012.
Oh, okay. Actually, did I have that wrong? Yeah. I knew what we were talking about, but it is good to get the reference correct.
To clarify, this is the part of the HPA. FDA consolidation bill. That's the bill that is being
approved. Right. That the only thing in this rulemaking from that legislation is the added year to the FPA period that an FPA is effective.
Would someone like to make an amendment to the motion to affect the change that staff just typed in up on the screen?
Well, I'll offer to amend my original motion with that change, parenthetically noting 2012 legislation associated with Senate Bill 6406.
Okay. And do we have a second on the amendment? Okay, so now we're going to vote on the amendment to insert that term. All those in favor of amending the motion to include a reference to 2012 legislation, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, now we're back to the motion,
the main motion
as amended. Any additional discussion around the motion? Could you flip back up to the motion, please? Any additional discussion around that motion?
Well, I would like to propose another amendment to the motion. Patricia, if you would go to it. There was an inadvertent change in the rule. So I move that the Forest Practices Board amend the rule proposal by adding a definition for large forest landowner to WAC 222-16010 to read as follows, quote, large forest landowner, end quote, is a forest landowner who is not a small forest landowner. And this is just a definition
for his discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
a second on this amendment?
Second.
Okay, seconded by
Dave. Yeah. It was just inadvertently changed in the language amendments.
So this would look to be a housekeeping set change?
Yes, thank you.
Any additional discussion around this amendment?
I'm not sure how it's being defined as what I'm not.
No, well, you're not. A small forest landowner is elsewhere is defined as not being a large forest landowner.
This is what we refer to as a circular reference in the worksheets.
Any additional discussion on this amendment? Okay. All those in favor of this amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. This amendment is also incorporated into the motion. Additional discussion around the motion as twice amended. Okay. All those in favor of the motion as twice amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Gretchen, thank you very much. Brings us to our next agenda item on 2013 work planning. Mark.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Mark Kingle again. Every year at your November meeting, we review the current year's work plan, and then staff asks the board to approve their next year's work plan. The board's work plans are on a calendar year basis. So in review of the 2012 work plan, this was in your packet. You'll see that most every commitment will be completed within the work plan. There were some things carried over into the future, and specifically with perennial development. Again, that's tied to staff capacity and issues before both policy and the board. With that, we'll go into the next part of the of this planning for next year. I'd like to start with the meeting dates. In your memo, we've identified the meeting dates for the next calendar year. Again, the rule states that the meeting shall be the second Wednesday in the months of February, May, August, and November. However, board member Summers is unable to make Wednesday meetings. So again, this year we have proposed the second Tuesday of those months. And that'll be up for the board discussion here in a minute. Also, we've attached the 2013 draft work plan. I just would like to point out that as board member Shaw pointed out this morning in his kind of his farewell comments to the board, there is an awful lot of work that goes on surrounding any action proposed by the board, and that be staff work, accompanying staff work. So staff asks that the board be cognizant of the amount of work that staff has to do in preparing any product for the board, and we our priorities, work priorities, are what the board identifies in their work plan. So this next year, we recommend that top two priorities for the board be the FPA, HPA integration. Again, that was 6406, the legislation of this last year. It is legislated, mandated change to the rules and the board manual. It also has a date certain of December 31st of 2013. In addition to that, the settlement agreement also has a date certain of December 2013. So those we ask to be the top two priorities. And when you look at the draft work plan, it lists the anticipated work before the adaptive management program and when they would bring products to the board. It again lists the annual reports. As you see there, the Northern Spotted Owl Conservation Advisory Group reports slated for next November. We just gave it today. We do have board manual development in the work plan. The number one in this would be the new section, the guidelines for forest hydraulic projects. Again, that's tied to 6406. And then board manual section 22, the adaptive management program, and that is also tied to the settlement agreement in anticipation that there may be both rule and board manual development as a result of policies, recommendations to the board. And then in the rulemaking, we do still list the critical habitat rulemaking that is ongoing. Then the number one, though, would be FPA, HPA, and then the adaptive management. So with that, I open it up for discussion by the board.
Hey, just one quick question and maybe just a clarification, Mark. And in the memo that I provided to the board on upland wildlife planning, I talked about, this is in the staff updates that we do every meeting. I talked about bringing or targeting at least some CR-102 language to the board on the Wolf rule change, possibly, I think it was in May, but I hadn't been able to check with DNR in terms of synchronizing with all the other work that they're doing, and so my memo is inaccurate, and I just wanted to make sure that the board understood that we're on this August timeline now for the critical habitat modification.
Other questions or feedback to Mark?
Mark, just so I understand how this is laid out in the form in front of us, you talked about December being a due date on the FPA-HPA integration. I don't see that on this. I don't see December listed. I see August listed.
In anticipation, or I guess to...
Are you planning to be late?
Well, it's I guess planning for the potential to be late.
Okay. Yeah. So that this is your target is August, but it has to be done by December.
That's correct.
Okay.
like setting a clock 5 minutes fast. Or half hour.
Discussion within the board as to the priorities and timelines. I don't think we're looking to vote on this, but is there a general sense among the, among the board that this work plan is correctly fashioned for the coming year? Okay. Mark, thank you very much. And that concludes our regular agenda items. Darren or Council, do we have need for executive session today?
No, we do not.
Okay. Without the need for executive session, board members, is there anything else that you want to raise before we adjourn? Okay. This meeting is adjourned. Yeah.